Intelligent Transportation Systems Podcast. Hello everyone, welcome back to the ITS Podcast, the premier periodical podcast on intelligent transportation research and engineering. This is episode 17 for September 2014. I'm Javier Sánchez Medina from the IEEE Intelligent Transportation Systems Society. We have prepared an outstanding episode for our very special listeners. Have you heard of contactless electric vehicle charging? We have a striking interview with Professor Zhangjiao Zhang, one of the leaders of the online electric vehicle project at the Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology. It is a challenging and informative interview you will enjoy for sure. We also have a surprising transportation history mini section, this time by our just arrived new volunteer, Mehran Shirazi. You will get amazed about the use of electric vehicles one century ago in Manhattan in the US. Please listen also to the news mini section. We have a very important call for nominations for the ITS Society's Board of Governors and a conference call. And that's it, let's jump into it. Enjoy!
This is a news mini section for September 2014. Every year, the IEEE ITS Society appoints 5 new Board of Governance members. The term of board members is 3 years, and in these 3 years, they are expected to actively participate in all decisions of the Society and to attend the board meetings, which are generally scheduled either as a teleconference or back-to-back with our flagship conferences, the IEEE Intelligent Vehicle Symposium and the IEEE Intelligent Transportation Systems Conference. The ITS Society is now seeking nominations for such candidates. Self-nominations are also acceptable. They should be sent together with a brief CV and a short statement on their goals for the ITS Society. Both candidates must be members of the IEEE ITS Society. Nominations should be sent before September 20 via email to stiller@kit.edu with subject ITSS Board Nomination. Please search for further information at itsp.cicei.com. We will end this mini section with a conference participation call regarding the 2014 IEEE International Conference on Vehicular Electronics and Safety that will take place in India during December 16 to 18. They have extended their submissions deadline to September 20. Please circulate this information.
Transportation in History by Mehran Shirazi, PhD candidate at Simon Fraser University, Canada. Do you think private electric transportation is a true innovation? If you think so, you might not know that in 1900, there were more battery-powered electric cars on the streets of New York City than cars powered by gasoline. There were 4,200 cars sold in the US that year. While only 22% of them were internal combustion engine cars, 38% of these cars were electric. These electric cars had obvious advantages. Unlike gasoline cars, they did not have any vibrations. They didn't need any crank start. They were clean, and they were generally very easy to maintain and use. Although they were slow and had limited driving range, because of the above advantages, they looked like the ideal choice for urban transportation. So you might wonder why they disappeared. The arrival of Ford's Model T in 1908, which was an affordable gas-powered car, was one of the reasons. However, the main reason was the mismanagement and, consequently, the death of a New York taxi company named Electric Vehicle Company, which used more than 2,000 electric vehicles in New York City. Electric starters were the final nail in the coffin. William Whitney, the manager of the company at the time, believed he had found the solution to the main issue of electric cars, limited range. Instead of stopping every few hours to charge an electric car's big batteries, cars would swap out empty batteries for charged ones. The idea worked at the beginning, but when Whitney increased the number of cars in the company, his overstock of batteries became smaller, the quality of the maintenance deteriorated. Gradually, batteries started to fail, which resulted in a fleet of malfunctioning taxis. The collapse of people's trust, a fire that destroyed 300 of the vehicles, and the panic of 1907 in the US caused the bankruptcy of the company. The collapse of electric vehicle company stained the reputation of electric cars. Discouragement of innovation was the actual heritage of the company. Investments in batteries and charging infrastructure stopped after this incident, which resulted in complete disappearance of electric cars from the market in 1920s. The mismanagement and death of EVC terminated the great electric hope of New York City in the beginning of 20th century. The results can be felt even now, more than 100 years after the incident.
Let's start with the main course of this episode, this interesting interview about vehicles that recharge their batteries on road. We really hope you enjoy this. Very well, my guest today is Professor Zhang Jia Zhang. He belongs to the Industrial and Systems Engineering Department at Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology. He participates and disseminates a very interesting project called Online Electric Vehicle, or OLEV, where vehicles can recharge their batteries without any special connections or contact as they move over a special pavement. His role in the OLEV project is to develop a high-level system design and an ITS architecture design. The high-level design includes determining the charging station allocation and creating routes for OLEV-based transportation systems. Hello, Professor. Can you please introduce yourself to our audience?
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm an assistant professor in the Department of Industrial and Systems Engineering at KAIST, Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology. Okay. Before I joined KAIST about 3 years ago, I worked in a company in the US. I received a PhD degree at MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Science and Technology in the US. Majoring in mechanical engineering, and also I studied operations and research. Okay. I'm currently doing research on transportation systems, logistics systems, and of course, intelligent transportation systems. And also, I am also involved in the KAIST Online Electric Vehicle OLEV project.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Zhang, can you please talk a little bit about your center, KAIST? It seems to be a very big and important research center there in Korea. Could you please provide us with some numbers, perhaps?
Oh, okay. KAIST, again, Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology. It was established in 1971 with the funding supported from the Korean government. Okay. It was established to model a research-focused university and to foster elite human resources in science and technology needed by the nation. Okay. So initially, it was when it was established, the Korea government was benchmarking the MIT or Caltech in the U.S., focusing on the technology and science, and also not only doing the research, but also educating the elite human resources. Now the KAIST is one of the fastest growing universities in the world in terms of academic recognition. We have around 14,000 undergraduates, about 25,000 graduate students, including, and also actually graduate students means the master's degree, and also about 10,000 PhDs. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's impressive. Well, what is OLEV? It stands for Online Electric Vehicle, but could you please tell us a little bit more?
Oh, yes. Again, the OLEV, O-L-E-V, that stands for Online Electric Vehicle. It is a special electric vehicle that charges the battery wirelessly from the power source installed under the road. The power supply system of the OLED generates a large amount of magnetic flux to transfer 100 kilowatts of power, which are necessary for the vehicle. The power rail is designed to generate the magnetic flux with a frequency of 20 kilohertz to the direction of the pickup module on the vehicle. The concept actually delivering the power wirelessly from the road to the vehicle is not really new. It has been around since the 1970s. Mm-hmm. However, the biggest technological breakthrough of the Kaiser OLED system is that, well, the charge can be done wirelessly. So vehicle is charged in motion, and also we could substantially increase the efficiency, the wireless charging and transfer efficiency of the system. So we could successfully develop a commercial system.
Mm-hmm. Where do you see this type of technology installed? Only in dense cities or even out on remote rural roads where the fear of lost battery power is greater?
Okay, so first of all, the biggest problem of the current conventional electric vehicle or a plug-in electric vehicle is the long charging time and the limited per charging distance. Mm-hmm. For example, it takes at least 20 minutes to charge the 20 kilowatt hour battery with the fastest charger. Okay. Also, the distance to drive with the current fully charged battery is limited. So therefore, a driver always has to be worried about running out of the battery. Mm-hmm. However, with the OLED technology, since the battery can be charged while the vehicle is in motion, you do not need to stop driving the vehicle to charge the battery. As long as the infrastructure, the charging infrastructure is placed, around the clock operation is possible. So therefore, well, we believe that this application is applied well to the public bus transportation system operating in the in an urban area. They operate with a time schedule and make frequent stops. So if we can optimally place the charging infrastructure on the road, then around-the-clock operation of the electric vehicle service can be possible. And so far, the shuttle bus system servicing in the KAIST campus is operated by the OLED system.
Mm-hmm. Well, that technology is very interesting indeed. But what is the plan? It seems that you have to convince simultaneously both administrators and car makers for the former implanting your magnetic resonance system in the streets, and then later designing and building the cars, including that energy capturing system. So what's the plan?
Well, should we install the charging infrastructure first or build the cars first? That's more like a chicken and egg problem. Yeah. In order to get around this problem, we develop applications for special commercial vehicles, such as the shuttle buses in the school campus or trolleys in the amusement parks. With that approach, we are delivering entire transportation system, not only the infrastructure or not just the vehicle, but the integrated solution with the charging infrastructure as well as the vehicle units.
Mm-hmm. Well, I now need to make a very short break, but we'll be back quickly. Hello again. Do you want to join our community? Please join us. We have a few options for you to choose. We have a Twitter account, a Google Plus website, and a LinkedIn group. For all of them, all you have to do is simply to search for ITS Podcast. It's just ITS Podcast all together and you will find us. We also have a Facebook page. It's easy. You search for ITSP for ITS Podcast, .ITSS for ITS Society. So in Facebook, you can find us searching ITSP.ITSS. Please go and join us. Join our selected community, sharing our passion for intelligent transportation science and engineering. Thanks for listening to ITS Podcast. Let's get back to our interview. Very well, we're back with Professor Zhang. Professor, how is it going with the commercialization of this system? Do you have customers interested in purchasing this system? What kind of customers, for example? I've seen that there are already some deployments, as you said, in the KAIST University campus. So how is it going?
Let me give you some history of the commercialization of the system.
Right.
The first commercial version was deployed at the Seoul Grand Park about 3 years ago. The Seoul Grand Park, one of the amusement parks in Seoul. It was originally designed for the trolleys circulating around the park. The system, the OLAP system, actually replaced the old diesel-based trolleys. Okay. The second commercial version was the KAIST shuttle, as mentioned. Okay. The system started the service in October 2012, and it has been operating pretty well since then. The third commercial version is the public transit system deployed at Gumi Metropolitan Cities in Korea, one of the cities in Korea. It was deployed last year. Actually, the system is the first OLAP-based public transportation system deployed on a normal urban street. Okay. So our major customer is the government sectors. Government is interested in using the technology for the public transportation systems. And also, we also have a couple of plans to deploy the system in several urban areas around South Korea. And also, the other metropolitan cities around the world, including the Malaysia and also Utah cities, and also Boston, Boston in the United States, they showed very strong interest applying those technologies to their mass transportation systems, and we are currently in the talk.
That's impressive. Okay, Professor, can you elaborate a little more on what are the advantages and disadvantages of using OLAP instead of plug-in charge electric vehicles? For example, can they carry lighter batteries since the weight of batteries in conventional electric cars is a traditional pain point of these cars?
Okay, well, of course, there are several advantages. Okay, as I mentioned earlier, the biggest benefit is that you do not stop driving to charge the battery since the charge can be done while in service. Mm-hmm. Also, compared to the plug-in electric vehicle, the charge is done automatically. You drive and the charge is done automatically. You don't need to any manual operation like connecting the cable between the charger and your car. So it's very convenient. And also, you know, the charge is done while you are operating, and also so therefore you don't have to carry the vehicle does not need to carry the huge battery. So you can reduce the size of the battery significantly. So that's another benefit.
Mm-hmm. And not having the users plugging in the batteries, I guess, is safer as well.
Oh yes, of course it's a lot safer. So you know, driver will in the, for example, like a rainy day. Uh-huh. There are lots of rain or a high humidity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there is always danger of lots of things, but you don't need to touch anything. So that is the major benefit.
Mm. And how is this system green? I've seen your website that where you say that OLAP is, I'm quoting, symbolic of green growth. That's strong. How is this system green? For example, where does the energy it uses come from? You know, there are some voices saying that there may be other greener options, like, for example, they are testing now in California hydrogen fuel vehicles where the carbon footprint may be smaller than the yielded by cars using massively electric energy, you know. So, how do you think your system is truly green with this regard?
Okay, well, this is very valid, but a very challenging question.
Mm-hmm.
You know that in order to achieve that, the true green transportation, well, well, you have to consider not only the power source of the vehicle, but also, well, how you're going to generate the source used by the vehicle. So you have to consider all those factors. Okay. So therefore, we're also trying to develop methods to generate electricity with a sustainable energy source, such as solar energy or wind energy. So where there is a charger, charging infrastructure, then we try to localize, which means that we generate the source of the energy in the local level instead of just relying on the power grid. So this research is currently being done. And also, in order to solve the electric grid balancing issue, there are lots of electric cars and also they use a lot of electric energies from the grid, there could be another issue. So therefore, we also trying to develop vehicle to grid technology, which means that you actually send out the electricity stored in the battery and send the energy back to the grid. Actually, you are selling that your electricity. Mm-hmm. So that in that way, if you don't use your car is parked at your office in the afternoon, then you believe that you have enough energy in the stored in the battery that you can set it back. So and vice versa. Of course, we're using the wireless charging technology or wireless power transfer technology. So lots of research is still going on, and those are very interesting topics. And also, speaking of the hydrogen fuel vehicle, the example you gave me, mm-hmm. well, there are a lot of other type of alternative vehicles. Well, I don't want to say that the OLED technology or electric vehicle is advantage over other alternative vehicles. You know that, well, there is also advantages, but also disadvantages. So I don't believe that one technology will dominates the entire technology in sometime soon. But my point is that there is always a niche market. So there is electric vehicle and there is a wireless charging technology. We combine them together and there is a niche market we can penetrate. Okay. So maybe in the future, several different technologies can survive all together. Maybe possible. So therefore, don't think that we're going to compete with a certain technology and this technology will survive in the future. Well, I don't want to say that, but there is a technology available and we can take advantage of that.
Mm-hmm. Your answer is also challenging.
Yeah.
Well, let me place a more general question now to finish this conversation. South Korea is now experimenting a really impressive growth, perhaps mainly based on new technologies. The country looks like filled up with innovation projects, not just in intelligent transportation. Can you please explain what is the social and economic trick you're using there in South Korea to be blossoming this fast? What is the role and weight of the Korean academia, the industry, and the local administrations?
Oh, well, it's not easy to answer. Mm-hmm. Well, 50 years ago, right after the Korean War, Korea was literally the poorest country. But now it became the country of 12th largest economy in the world. So, well, the country has been growing in a very fast. Okay. Well, I think that we never hesitated to try something new. Also, we have a lot of passion in the technologies. Mm-hmm. And also, there has been strong support from the Korean government in research and development, R&D. So with that strong support from the government and also technology-oriented mind, as well as adventurous culture, all those created success, I believe. So the for example, like OLED is one good example. Korean government was willing to spend the technology. There was a risk, right? Always there is always a risk, but the government didn't hesitate to invest the money on that. Mm-hmm. And also the researchers were, they really jump on that, try to do something new. Okay. And so that's the technology oriented and also the adventurous mind, I believe. So all those actually created the great success in Korea.
Okay, well, Jiang, thank you very much for your participation in this interview. I really like it, and I think our listeners will enjoy it as well. I think many of us are looking with amazement this development you were talking about. So, congratulations on that, and good luck with your project.
Okay, thank you for having me. And also, go to the YouTube site and type OLEV, OLAV, OLEV, KAIST. Then you can see the video videos of the OLAV system.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll put those links in our website, so be sure that our listeners will watch it.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Well, it's over. We need to recharge our batteries as well. Please send us comments on this episode. Do you think it's feasible to charge future electric vehicles without even stopping? Let us know what is in your mind. We are already working in the next episode. You'll get amazed. Stay tuned. This podcast is sponsored by the IEEE Intelligent Transportation Systems Society, website designed and managed by the Innovation Center for the Information Society at the University of Las Palmas de Gran Canaria in Spain, soundtrack developed by Rubicon, language advisory by Manuel Arbelo and Professor Sean Williams from Clemson University, South Carolina. We'll be back soon bringing you again the cutting edge of science at the Intelligent Transportation Systems podcast. Thanks for listening, and drive safe.